Hello and welcome into the County Seat in downtown Lillington. My name is Chris Haymeyer, and this, believe it or not, is our final Camel Call Live show of the season. A huge thank you to everybody here at the County Seat. We are finishing up year two here in our partnership with this fantastic place that has such a fantastic staff, fantastic menu, great drinks, great specials. The County Seat, right there in the main intersection in downtown Lillington on Main Street. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to our football season opener tonight. Campbell opens up the football season 3 straight weeks on the road, but then 3 straight weeks at home starting September 21st at 5 p.m. Campbell will welcome Stony Brook to town. That is a CAA matchup as well. It is the first home conference game of the season, so we have your chance to win. If you want a free chance to win, Mark right here will have your ticket for you halfway through the show. We will do a drawing for that. We are really excited tonight because tonight is our Fighting Camel Club takeover. Later in the show, we will talk to Stan Cole, a Campbell alum who is in his fourth decade of covering Campbell athletics. If you are listening to us right now on the podcast, you know him as the host of Tales from the Creek. That is part of our podcast here on the Camel Call podcast, and he has great long-form interviews with former Campbell greats. That will be a lot of fun to talk to Stan in the second half hour of the show. But first, in this first half hour, we kick things off with Nathan Rice, also a Campbell alum and currently the Senior Associate Athletics Director for Campbell Athletics. Before we dive into the Fighting Camel Club, Nathan, tell us about what is your kind of long and really great history with this great university.
Sure. Chris, thank you so much for having us on tonight. This is wonderful to be here and just to be able to tell a little bit about what we're doing with the Fighting Camel Club. I'm a Campbell alum, like you said. I graduated in 2007. I studied religion and philosophy at Campbell. That was not necessarily something that in my mind was leading me towards being Senior Associate AD for Advancement or something along those lines, but very much pursued my academic interests as a student. My wife's an alum as well, but I came back to work at Campbell in 2013. I'm in my 12th year now as an employee, and I worked in the undergraduate admissions office, and I was doing faith-based and community partnership initiatives for our admissions office, and switched over into advancement back in early 2017. Jason Geip, who is still a mentor to me, but hired me into that role as Campbell was taking on the Campbell Leads campaign, and I was the first millennial major gift fundraiser that the university hired. So that perspective was a lot of fun, but I stayed in that role. I worked with our School of Business very closely. I also did general fundraising for the university in School of Engineering, and switched over into this athletics role just over a year ago now.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, isn't it? You've only been here for a year with us in athletics.
I know. It's certainly within my span of time of being with the university is relatively short, yet it's been some of the most meaningful and impactful work that I have been able to be a part of.
We are talking with Nathan Rice, and Nathan, you have come in and you were charged with a lot of things right off the bat, but rebooting the Fighting Camel Club, and you have done that. The Fighting Camel Club has been around for a long time, but you have really reworked it because of what is ahead. So we'll start off with this. Why is the Fighting Camel Club and support from all of our great friends so important to Campbell Athletics?
Sure. Well, you know, the Fighting Camel Club was an initiative that was very important for us to sort of revive. COVID, as it did with a lot of different programs, put a little bit of hurt on the Fighting Camel Club, where there was not a lot of support that was coming in that was general in nature, and where the experience piece really tapered off as our fan experience was something that we needed to rebuild as well. But the big why for the Fighting Camel Club, you know, we've moved into the CAA, and we relaunched the Fighting Camel Club, so to speak, in conjunction with that move to the CAA with our new brand and marketing initiatives. And this is the philanthropic component for our athletics department, and it's really laying the foundation that we can meet the greatest needs for our student athletes. And it is an experience that is built in right now where we've been intentional about making sure that our donors are able to interact very directly with our student athlete.
structure of the Finding Camel Club. What is different in it? What are some of the things that you have done that people might not realize?
Sure. Well, I'm a we before me kind of person, so I'm going to say what we have done has been a privilege to be able to lead some of that charge. But we've provided a lot of structure where we have something for everyone. You know, even if you think about a young alum who has graduated perhaps, you know, just a week and a half ago from the university, would not think of themselves necessarily as a philanthropist. However, we've got these discounts that are built in where, you know, $50 a year, a young alum could jump in. We have built in different tiers, and in the first year, it was about deliverable. What are we able to actually do? Basically, starting from $100 a year membership up to $25,000 a year membership. And we've got these segments in between where, you know, what you're giving is going to have a direct correlation to what you receive out of that from an experiential standpoint, but also from an impact standpoint for us to be able to convey that. So differentiation was really important for us out of the gate to make sure that we had an opportunity for everybody to get involved. This is about building the foundation and building the base from a philanthropic standpoint. And it's a lot of fun to look at somebody who has just graduated, who's joined the Fighting Camel Club, you know, maybe for $4 or $8 a month kind of thing, and say, you're making a difference. You're doing something right now with your charitable giving as a philanthropist that is actually enhancing and growing the student-athlete experience for us here at Campbell University.
Yeah, I think that's something really good that you did. I think when people think of, okay, donating, you know, giving to a Division I athletic program, people think, okay, I've got to have deep pockets, I have to do that. But it's more about being a part of something like this that is so big, and anybody can do it, and it means a lot, no matter if you're at the Fighting Camel Club level or the Platinum level. Trying to keep this level of winning that Campbell has enjoyed over the last decade going into the Coastal Athletic Association.
Sure, and that's the intentionality. Really, the Fighting Camel Club exists out of a very intentional effort by Hannah Bazemore to create a standalone advancement office within athletics to be able to meet those needs with more specificity and to really identify folks who can help us to rise to the occasion. The university has challenged us to be able to step up and to be able to offer these new deliverables for our student athletes, for our fans, for our alumni, for the entire community. And for us to look at that again strategically and say, okay, how are we going to first of all meet these needs, but then how are we going to increase the margin of excellence for this department so that we can really rise to the occasion? We don't just want to settle to be in the CAA. This is a tremendous opportunity for us, and opportunity is a word that's going to continue to come up with us as we look at ways to engage with our fans, engage with our donors, to be able to meet those needs, obviously, but then to be able to really take a look at our student athletes, what their experience is going to be, not just in the travel, not in just the competition piece, but also in the classroom and in the community.
You have done so much already. What is really the future hold here, maybe in the next 6 months to a year for the Finding Camel Club?
Sure. Well, we have plenty of initiatives that have taken off in the first year for the Fighting Camel Club, including the Women's Empowerment Fund. We've launched the 1K for 1K campaign, which I'm happy to talk about in a little bit more detail here in just a moment. But we're going to add a couple of different levels in this year to be able to segment even better so that folks you know, can maybe move up to the next level of giving. So we have a $3,000 level that we're going to officially announce here in a couple of weeks, as well as a $10,000 level. We already have levels at $100, $250, $500, $1,000, $5,000, and $25. We needed to provide some more differentiation in that. But you can also look for enhancements to the student-athlete experience and where it intersects with the donor experience. So last year, our fans saw for the first time end-zone hospitality for football.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for football season now. Folks are very excited about it. And the Fighting Camel Club basically took over a corner in behind the end zone in Parker Lane Stadium. And that is allowing our fans who join the Fighting Camel Club at a certain level to be able to actually be down on the field during competition, which was not something that we were able to offer previously. We're going to see that enhance with a little bit more posh experience there this year. That's associated with the gold camel level or higher. But you'll see that experience elevated. You're going to see more opportunities to hear about the stories of our student athletes, both in the classroom and in competition. And I guess a third piece in the community through our very strong storytelling with folks like Stan Cole, who are really leading the charge on that.
Yeah, and what you all set up with the Fighting Camel Club, really, really sensational. This was the first year we had on-field suites, of course, available for the public to buy. But then, and as you said, the corner on one side of it was a suite where you can go in, and you are so close. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, hey, every seat in Barker Lane Stadium is a good one, which is true. But, man, when you're down on field level and you get to not only be with other Fighting Camel Club members, you get some refreshments down there, but to be that close to the action, it's really something.
And it's fascinating to watch that interaction because the student athletes see it and they get excited about it too. I mean, we had everything from kids of Fighting Camel Club members ringing the Kivett bell as the players run out. You're right there where the smoke is coming out, the fireworks going off. Hannah may not like me saying this per se, but I think we got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty towards the end of the season after a very awesome touchdown where perhaps there was some celebration that happened with one of our student athletes and our donors. And that was funny to watch. Obviously, we need to be thinking about the game. It's not my job to worry about the X's and O's. But that tells you how close you are to the action if you jump in with us at that level.
Yeah, that play was a receiver catching a pass and then slapping five with some members of the Fighting Camel Club. That was really, really great, except for the 15-yard penalty. But it counted, and that's
so
what mattered.
They were literally getting involved in the game, perhaps not in the best way.
Yeah.
But we'll continue to craft that.
You had mentioned it a little bit, the Women's Empowerment Fund, of course. We are just, this is hard to believe. We're about a week away from Wanda Watkins, the legendary Campbell women's basketball coach who then turned into administrator. She is retiring, and in the fall, we were able to name the court after her. The basketball court is Wanda Watkins Court, and it kicked off a women's empowerment push to really shine a spotlight on these wonderful sports that we have, these female sports that have been winning and winning at a high pace, and really help bolster them on the giving front.
Right. It's an intentional effort for us to be able to connect with donors who are passionate specifically about supporting our female student athletes and supporting the sports, those facilities, whatever that looks like. And the legend, Wanda Watkins, to be able to provide her name with our court, obviously, but also with the movement that we're seeing. You know, within, I'm not going to talk too much brass tacks about how philanthropy works, but when folks can give where they're most passionate and feel like they're part of a cause, that is something that is really going to spark and it's going to ignite a significant portion of our donor base to be able to say, look, I'm making a difference here specifically. I can see it. Jeff Gross, I see in the audience here, with women's soccer, with the ability for us to provide better nutrition for our players, for example. And to be able to give through that specific fund has been part of the strategy again. But it's also making the most significant difference for us. And that's what we want to be about. For us to do that, but also to say gifts to the Women's Empowerment Fund qualify you to the same capacity that women that gifts to the Fighting Camel Fund to actually be a member of the Fighting Camel Club. So you can go online right now and sign up for the Fighting Camel Club at whatever level is comfortable for you, and you can support the Women's Empowerment Fund with that gift.
That's awesome. Another thing that you'll see that's ongoing is the 1K for 1K. It's a catchy name, and it's a challenge to get as many people as possible at that gold level, as you said, that opens up the door to on-field suites, different experiences. That's something that's a pretty cool entry point as well.
Right. We want to be able to grow that experience, and we are a mid-major significant Division I athletics program. We ought to be seeing $1 million come through in support of our student athletes. And 1K for 1K is designed exactly to do that. We're going to see it grow here over the next year in a significant capacity as we're able to make the impression, to get the story out there, to show really what it's worth for us to have folks who are giving at that gold level or higher. But the biggest jump really in the experience for the donor happens between the Champions Club yep. level and the Gold Camel level. So we're going to continue to push that in a significant way and break it down into bite-sized pieces where folks are able to give, you know, perhaps $83, $85 yep. a month. I'm impressed with something, Chris. You and I are both senior associate ADs in our department, but our entire executive team working with Hannah are all Gold Camel members or higher.
Yeah.
That's buy-in, right? That's our ability to really start making a difference. Whatever level a person can give, that matters. We want to see that continue to grow. But at this $1,000 level and above, again, the emphasis behind it of being, we want to be a $1 million-a-year program.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said breaking it down, because 1K, all of a sudden, it's, whoa, $1,000 is $1,000. Over 12 months is 82, 83, 84, depending on how you break it up, which, again, is significant. But when you look at it in bite-sized morsels, which you can do and put in monthly, it really puts it in perspective. You had mentioned the young alumni, but this is something that hasn't been done before, and getting those young alumni, recent grads, and you didn't just have to graduate yesterday or last week like some did. You can, but this encompasses some to get them going at a reduced rate.
Yes, it's 50% off if you've graduated within the last 5 years. There's a place on our online form to be able to indicate that you've graduated, and then it breaks down the cost for you. It can bill monthly, what have you. But really what this, I'm talking about the nuts and bolts of what is very much a culture shift for us. This year we had Tag Day. That's been part of Campbell University's culture for quite a while, but to have the student-athlete focus on it, every member of our Fighting Camel Club this year received a handwritten thank you note from a student-athlete explaining how their contribution made a difference in their life. That's something we haven't done before.
Yep.
That goes in two different directions. One, the donors obviously are happy to be thanked. These are not written by some third-party vendor.
Yep.
This is sitting down with our student-athletes, but also explaining the importance of philanthropy to them. So they're seeing the benefit that they're getting tangibly from the generosity of donors. And then we're asking them to imagine themselves at graduation joining and being part of that and then receiving the thank you note because they're making a difference with it. So that's something that happens. You know, you see bigger programs who have embodied that for a long time. Those culture shifts take time to be able to execute, but we're going to see an immediate impact from doing that right now.
The common thread that you have woven through all of this and your Fighting Camel Club and the wonderful people you have that are working on this in the athletic department is to kind of link giving with the student athletes, and you do that too as you are offering, again, something that you are putting a spotlight on, actually funding positions on athletic teams to say, hey, this much or this amount contributes to the third baseman on the baseball team or the linebacker on the football team.
Yes, that's a way for us to actually be able, imagine this, I want to just tell this in a more narrative form. Imagine that you are funding a starting quarterback position, and you get three or four generations, of course, we're still a young program, but three or four generations of Campbell alumni QBs come together and say, you know what? We want to make a difference in this player's life. It's been a complex, basically just an ecosystem for us to better understand over the last year, you know, dealing with NIL, for example, how we're able to make a difference and be part of that ecosystem without competing too much head-to-head, where you have folks who do want to see their contributions directly benefit or impact a player. This is another opportunity to make a charitable contribution through the university to help empower that student athlete, and that's obviously going to be on the field, but it also can be in their studies or what they're doing outside of athletics as well. So we want to be able to provide that type of experience for our donors and for our student athletes to truly convey the holistic educational experience, what it means to be a student and an athlete. Those are not mutually exclusive terms.
Yep.
They're students plus.
Yep, no
when
doubt.
When I look at, I've worked with our alumni and donors
yeah.
now for close to a decade, and when I look at some of our most generous folks who are doing the best in the community, they are alumni who were student athletes when they were here, and they did not go professional in their sport. This is where we'll go with it. I'm going to use a visualization here. You and I grew up having these holographic basketball cards where you could see,
no doubt, yeah.
you could see Michael Jordan dribbling yep. down the court and see it in action. I want to be able to flick the wrist and see, you know, one of our volleyball players in Scrubs, where when our fans are watching and getting to know our student athletes on a greater scale, they recognize that the person who's out there who has just spiked the ball, you know, and done a fantastic job leading us on to our next victory is also going to be spiking their career. They're going to be taking off. They're going to be in the community working hand in hand with so many others who are alumni of this great institution. And that's what we're trying to convey from a holistic standpoint. And that's where it really comes in as a philanthropic effort.
With Nathan Rice here, and we're going to get to the second half of our program. We're going to talk to longtime Campbell Stan Cole. But if you are saying to someone, maybe someone that's been around the program for a while, been around Campbell, or maybe someone that's new to the area and just trying to get to know Campbell, why is it important to join the Fighting Campbell Club?
Sure. Check us out. We're offering something that really I've looked at a lot of other programs. There are very few programs who are offering what we offer for our fans who are able to engage with us in a philanthropic way because you are making a difference daily. We're going to convey to you on a weekly basis how you're making that difference, but you're going to be able to see, feel, smell. All of the sensory experience is going to come in basically with the benefit that you're going to receive at our sporting events. You're going to be able to get some cool swag. We've got new things coming out in the next year. You're going to be able to rep that brand. We jokingly say we've got the new Fighting Camel Club logo and emblems on cars. When we see them in the wild, that makes us very excited. But we want that brand to be ubiquitous, not just in Harnett County, but in North Carolina and beyond. So joining the Fighting Camel Club at whatever level is comfortable for you, we've got something for everyone. But being part of that is being a part of the greatness that is Campbell University and Campbell Athletics as we strive to go to the next level.
Well, Nathan Rice, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for all you do and have done for Campbell. And gocampbells.com, hit the give button for all your information. And all of the great stuff that Nathan talked about is right there for you. And again, look for more to come this summer. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about a lot of fun stuff and the Fighting Campbell Club with Stan Cole. That is after the break here on Camel Call Live from the county seat in downtown Lillington.
The Fighting Camel Club empowers student-athletes to lead with purpose on and off the field. Over the past 3 years, donations to the FCC have helped fund scholarships, facility enhancements, health and wellness improvements, and the greatest needs of the athletics department. With our move to the CAA, the need for your support has never been greater. Memberships begin at just $100 and can get you access to exclusive merchandise and seating. Head to GoCamels.com and hit the give button.
Well, welcome back to the county seat in downtown Lillington. Stan Cole is with us here. He wears very many hats, and he is also the media communications contact for our golf teams. And Stan, when you think of Campbell alum, Jesper Svensson really making a splash, just amazing what he's been doing.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, that the golf team has been outstanding at Campbell for half a century or more. And then when John Crooks took over the women's program, we've seen what they've done with dozens of NCAA postseason bids. But Jesper Svensson, when he came in, he kind of had that look to him.
Yeah.
He has the 21st century body for golf. He's about 6 foot, about 215 pounds.
Absolutely.
He hits it a long way. He hits it straight. Even more important, he hits his wedge game is outstanding. He's a great putter. He's worked at it. His mental game is probably the best thing going, and that's what matters more. That's what separates. There's so many people physically who can do the things, but can you do it with thousands of people watching it, with thousands of dollars on the line every time you draw the club back? And Jesper proved that early on in his career. His sophomore year, he won the Big South Conference Championship and destroyed the conference record that was set by Dustin Johnson, who went on to become the world number one.
Yeah.
And, and so we knew early on, then he does it 2 years later. Then he goes out and works, kind of grinds, and just has a slow build on the European Developmental Tour. And then all of a sudden, he wins last year on it, and he's like, "Wow, Jesper's going to be on the DP World Tour this year." And then the first couple of months he's on there, he goes and wins an event there, and he's
amazing.
And what an incredible rise! Great kid, I say kid. Great young man. Great family. Couldn't be happier for them. And then to top that off, not only do you have Jesper in the field, but Ben Polland, who graduated in 2013 out of the Campbell Professional Golf Management Program, was on the team several semesters with our associate head coach, Matt Moot, just couldn't break in because of his internship responsibilities in the fall, wasn't able to compete and practice enough. But he is one of the best playing teaching pros in the country.
Yeah.
He's the director of golf out at Shooting Star in Wyoming. He won the PGA Professionals Championship, which is an incredible feat to start with. And then for the fourth time, he makes the PGA Championship field, and he missed the cut by one stroke.
My goodness.
He bogeyed his last hole after having to come back because of darkness and finish up on Saturday morning. His last hole, a par four, which was the ninth hole. But Ben has been there, played in that big arena before. And it's just these things. We talk about it, Chris, sometimes these kind of pinch you moments when you turn on the television, you see Zach Neto or Cedric Mullins playing in the big leagues. You see our guys playing in the NFL. You see professional golfers at the highest level all pass through these doors here in the last 10 years.
Yeah, just incredible what he has been doing. Now, Stan, you ran the media communications department for many decades, but now you are moving on, Associate AD of Community and Alumni Relations, working very closely with the Fighting Camel Club. Tell everybody a little bit what you're doing, this new position over the last year.
Sure, Chris. It's kind of a hybrid position. For years in communications, we had you get from one event to another, starting in early August all the way through May into June. You don't have time with a smaller staff to maybe tell some of those big picture stories, some of those stories about relationships, some of those stories where you're sharing other people's experiences that other people can identify with. And Hannah Bazemore, about 18 months ago, talked to me about this new position and said, you know, we'd like for you to take the lead doing some alumni podcasts, writing some features, and some of those things that I had, I was trained as a print journalist, love writing features, love hearing people's stories. I love to listen to people's stories. Well, everyone has a great story.
Yeah.
And it just helps to prod them out, and then they're relatable. This podcast, we're finishing up the second full season of it, and it's so interesting to me with the different guests that I've had from different eras, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that their stories are very similar in some ways to other people. They're Buies Creek stories. And so that relatability and linking those generations of alumni and Campbell athletes and coaches together, and helping them, some of them are building brand new relations with people 30, 40 years younger than them, just from meeting them at different events. And that's what I'm enjoying more than anything else, is linking and hooking up people to get them to share their Campbell experience.
If you're listening to this podcast now, you just scroll back to the mini episodes and the Tales of the Creek podcast pop up about a couple times a month or so, or you can go to gocamels.com, hit the fans tab, and you will find the podcast. All of them are archived as well. It is great that you get to use your talents towards the new rebirth and the shaping of what the Fighting Camel Club is. It's about making an impression, and you're able to do that, really connecting these student athletes, present and former, with those out there that are giving.
Well, Chris, you know, for the longest time, we have touchstones wherever we go. And for the longest time, Wanda Watkins has been the touchstone for the Campbell Athletics Department for half a century. She's retiring at the end of this month after 49 years.
Unbelievable.
Four as an undergraduate, 45. I mean, we're talking about Gerald Ford was in the White House when Wanda Watkins set foot on campus as a freshman. And, you know, I don't even want to think about what the price of gas was. but she's a touchdown. People know her, whether she was up close friends with them, but people know her. And we've kind of found out over the years, as you kind of go through and do some stuff, that you make an impression on somebody if you smile at them, say hello. And maybe you're not really close to them, but you recognize a face. And if you think about, if you go back to a place, if you go visit your hometown and you hadn't been there for a while and you see a familiar face, that makes you feel comfortable. And I'm just, you know, delighted that things have worked out, that my wife Claudia has stuck with me. We've raised our kids here. We've met some amazing people. And we enjoy being able to, visit with those folks and have relationships with people throughout the years. And, you know, it just kind of has naturally or organically morphed into what this position is.
Yep.
Helping to tell people stories and helping to make introductions and find out who really wants to be involved with the university on whatever level it is.
And because when we were, discussing this and talking about it, I mean, you are a consistent, much like Wanda Watkins, but you know, you touched every sport here throughout your entire career from when you were a student in the 80s to when you got this position a couple years after being a student. And so you have such a good overall view of every sport every year from 80, 90, 2000, 2010. I mean, just incredible what you have seen and who you have known about the hundreds of student athletes that have come through here.
Well, my first job being associated with athletics was I was working for the campus paper the fall of my freshman year, and I was sent out to cover cross country.
Yeah.
And to cover cross country, that meant you went to the cross-country practice on Monday afternoon and talked to the coach about what they did the weekend before. And Brant Tolsma, who was at Campbell at the time and training Orville Peterson for the 1984 Olympic trials, and he was a decathlon coach, went on to coach at Liberty for three or more decades and had amazing success there. But Brant started reeling off times to me of what his runners did to the 100th of a second, and it just kind of blew my mind away. Well, then a year later, I found out a little bit about what sports information was. The sports editor of the paper at the time told me, he says, "Well, you need to go talk to the sports information director." I said, "What in the world is that?"
Yeah.
Oh, he's over there in the house behind Carter Gym. Go find him. His name's David Snipes, and he'll get you in touch with the coach and let you know how to go about covering this story. And I said, okay. Well, then I started talking to David about that and just worked with the paper that first year. And then David says, why don't you come work at sports information? We have a student staff. We have things that we have to do. And I said, well, okay. So I was double dipping working for both. And that my sophomore year, if you want to talk about amazing people that you just happen to work with, here I am. I was 19, 20 years old. And I get on the bus with the basketball team to go to Clemson for the for a basketball tournament, and Press Maravich is our assistant coach.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sitting with Press at a Shoney's or eating breakfast or something like that, and just listening to him tell all these stories.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm of the age where you grew up and you wanted to be Pistol Pete in the driveway.
No doubt.
And
that was his dad.
Yes, and Press Maravich, Pistol Pete Maravich, Diana graduated in our first pharmacy class. Press and Wanda Watkins used to share an office. So a lot has gone on, and we could go on down this rabbit hole for quite some time. But you know, the people you come across throughout the years, you hope, you know, I just remember that Press Maravich treated me like I worked for the New York Times.
Yeah.
And treated Wanda Watkins like she was a national championship coach when she was in her 20s. And, you know, if you learn about treating people the right way, then, you know, most people are going to be glad to see you when they come back around. So you try to be nice to folks and take an interest in them.
You know, you have been telling a lot of these stories, and it's great because it's long form. You really get to talk to people for a good 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. And you are also, too, we talk about some of these current stories you're doing. You're focusing a lot on the Women's Empowerment Fund and how that is used to really help these unbelievable women's sports at Campbell that have grown significantly through the decades. They're now champions. I mean, all across the board, I think we were talking about all but one of our women's sports have at least brought home a runner-up trophy, many multiple trophies, and it's fun to tell these stories about a side of Campbell Athletics with these women's sports that are just at the highest level.
Well, while the internet kind of spelled doom, so to speak, for traditional hard copy newspapers, it has opened up interest for a variety of things. You know, for crying out loud, there's professional cornhole now, right?
That's true.
But the wonderful thing is that incredible stories have not been told through the past because there was only so much time left on the newscast, the radio broadcast, or in the sporting pages, and the stories that were chosen were the ones that brought the most eyes, whether it was a Triple Crown race, heavyweight boxing, baseball, football, basketball, all on the men's side. Well, look at what's been happening here. What's the biggest story of 2024, perhaps? Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa, the growth,
absolutely,
the absolute incredible growth of women's college basketball into the WNBA, and then the expansion. You know, maybe the first big team sports story that happened in the U.S. was the rise of the U.S. women's national soccer team
no
in the
doubt.
90s.
Yep.
And there it started growing from there. Well, those stories were not told 30, 40 years ago in the traditional media, or it was just every now and again. Well, we've got 500-plus student-athletes walking across our campus, and so many of them have a great story to tell. And oftentimes, some of the best stories are not performance-related. And this Women's Empowerment Spotlight, where I've gone and talked with either current athletes, recent graduates, showing what a scholarship, an opportunity has created. Sarah Llewellyn is the head golf pro at Governor's Club in Chapel Hill. And she's a 2011 graduate. She got her start playing at Campbell, then decided to go into the, you know, tried playing a little bit, decided to go into teaching pro, and she is in charge of one of the greatest clubs in the Triangle.
Yep.
And is an unbelievable story to tell. But, you know, she got her start, she saw Tiger Woods on TV, and she started grab some old rusty clubs out of the garage and started hitting a golf ball around the backyard, and her mom said, we better not do this here. We're going to go find a driving range for you. And she, you know, and so I love to hear how things got started. And a lot of times the stories start with a family member or something like that. And then the latest women's empowerment feature was on the Rowrich sisters on our lacrosse team, who are from New York State, just, you know, an hour or so north of the city, but their grandmother is Dominican. And one of Shania Rowrich's friends was a member of the Puerto Rican national girls lacrosse team, women's lacrosse team, and they started looking up, why doesn't the Dominican Republic have a team like that? So they have started, planted the seeds. The Rowrich family really is Dominican Republican international lacrosse, and what they've done to try to grow the game. There's stories like that everywhere, Chris, that we're always looking for, we're always wanting to know, and I'm just glad to be able to be, you know, a vehicle for some of those folks to tell their story.
Yeah, and you can find all these stories on GoCamels.com as they are archived in the news section. We have talked about your connection working here. You're also an alum. This place means so much from you.
And now you're talking to a lot of alums. When you're talking to alums, those around the program, those around Campbell, about the Finding Campbell Club and its importance, what are you saying?
The main thing I'm asking them is, you know, gauging their interest. They will let you know if they want to be interested beyond just being a fan or being a thing that, you know. It's interesting. One thing I've found, Chris, is that in this kind of circle of life, the traditional model, you know, you go to school, you finish or whatever, you get a job, you work, maybe you raise a family or something like that, and then the kids are out of the house, and then you kind of look around and say, who am I going to reconnect with after I've focused so much time on one of these other things? And I've found so many people in their late 40s, 50s, now as I've hit 60, that they circle back to their friends and to hear the stories of the teammates on the bus and those things like that. So I just try to share with them and that, you know, we are here to support the athletes. Our primary motivation with the Fighting Camel Club is support athletic scholarships, opportunities for students. Mm-hmm. And the opportunities that some of these young people have been given and what they've done with them are remarkable. Shai Tooley came here between a COVID year and a redshirt year. She's got 2 degrees and a master's degree, you know, playing basketball. And, you know, played for our first team ever to play in the women's NIT, won a couple of regular season championships, made an incredible impression, and friends for life, and created that scholarship that provided her the chance to come here, and it has been life-changing. And so sharing that with folks, whether they were a scholarship athlete, maybe they were here on an academic money or some reason, but they came to Buies Creek for a reason. Something brought them here. And so we're trying to help them understand that it's important for us now to give back and to help provide that opportunity for someone else.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can go to GoCamels.com, hit the give button, find out all about the Fighting Camel Club. If you're listening to this podcast, tons of tales from the creek. Episodes are archived at GoCamels.com under the podcast tab in the fans section, and also scrolling back wherever you're listening to us right now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and everything in between. Stan, I know you've got some really exciting interviews coming up here. One tomorrow, I think, as well, Tales from the Creek, that we'll see soon.
Right, Chris. When it rains, it pours in so many ways. You know, the golfing world, when they move the PGA Championship to May, you get the Masters in April, PGA Championship in May, and now the U.S. Open is coming in June here in 3 weeks' time down at Pinehurst, which is just less than an hour drive from our campus. And so on purpose, we have tried to line up some guests to talk about the U.S. Open. And, you know, Brad Fritch graduated in 2000, was inducted into our Hall of Fame in 2015. Well, earlier that year, he qualified for and made the cut at Chambers Bay. He's played in the PGA Tour. He's had a number of top tens. And now Brad is settled in the area and working in the golf industry, in a golf equipment and accessories, but he is a great storyteller.
Yep.
He's a great writer. Brad also was a guy that was on track to go to law school. He was a 3.9.
Yep.
He was our first 2-time academic All-American. He's a really smart guy. He's a sports junkie.
Yep.
He's just a fun guy to chat with. Well, Brad's going to come down, and we're gonna sit down and press record, and then we're going to hit it. Hopefully the battery won't run out, because we could go on for a while. So we're going to talk about Brad's story, the fact that he came from Canada, where there's not a lot of golf played between October and March, developed at Campbell, and that springboarded a career that ended up in the PGA Tour, which is remarkable.
Amazing.
Just to start with. And then I want to talk more, even dive deeper into this incredible U.S. Open process, where this year 10,000 people attempted to qualify to get one of 156 spots in the field next month. And talk about his path and what he learned for this program and what he's doing now. Just last week, I get a text message from Kylie Pratt, who was here about the same time Brad was. Kylie was one of our first superstar women's golfers. She went on to play professionally. She qualified for the Women's Open. She said, I just want to come by and visit. I said, well, while you're here, let's record a podcast. And so Kylie Pratt, all the way from Australia, now involved in women's golf as a caddy, as a player manager. She does a little bit of everything. Another great storyteller. And so I'm excited to talk with her. Later this month, Dwayne Bach is coming back. Dwayne Bach is on Sepp Straka's bag. And Sepp won the John Deere last summer, the first time Dwayne took over as his caddy. A week later, they go over to the British Open. We say the British Open. Over there, they call it the Open Championship. And Straka finished tied for second.
Amazing.
So Dwayne ends up caddying in the Ryder Cup last fall. Back with Straka at the Masters this spring. He's coming through town. We're going to sit down and chat, and that's going to turn into a long-form feature for the Campbell Alumni Magazine, some behind-the-scenes stuff up at the Open. I'm just so tickled to be able to do this. And throw in the fact that Pontus Nyholm, class of 21, is playing in the Corn Ferry Tour event next week up in Raleigh. I'm spending a lot of time on the golf course, but I hadn't touched a club.
It's not bad. All of that to come where you're listening to these podcasts right here at GoCamels.com podcast. Also, remember to hit the good button and all this great stuff you've been hearing about the Fighting Camel Club. It's all there for you at GoCamels.com. Thank you so much, Stan. I really appreciate it. Our thanks to Nathan Rice, who was our guest in the first half hour of this show. And thanks to the wonderful people here at the county seat as we wrap up year two of our Camel Call Live show. If you're listening to us right now, still some more great content to come throughout the summer. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you to the county seat. Good night.